Chapter number 3, Paul, in speaking to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church at Ephesus, he says to him, all Scripture, I'm in verse 16, all Scripture is given by God breathing. You ought to write that beside that verb, that word. That's what that word means. It means God breathing or God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The God-breathed Word. Did you hear that? God-breathed Word. It is more important today than ever. And it is more attacked today than it ever has been. You're living in a time when the Word of God is shunned, ridiculed, despised, and trying to be destroyed, more so than any age you've ever known. Now think about what I've said to you. That means that the proliferation of evil men and seducers has truly waxed worse and worse. They are deceiving and being deceived. We are seeing the fulfillment of that very thing taking place in America. I want to go further. We are seeing that very thing taking place in the modern church. Are you aware this evening that most churches despise the Word of God? Now you look at me strange. Don't look at me like that. I'll have to tell you some stuff. I don't want to get into that. But you're living in a time when the church despises the Word of God. We're living in a time when most preachers despise the Word of God. See, this book is sharp. Paul said in the Hebrew letter that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. This book is a living book. It corrects us. It condemns us. It reproves us. And when those things start happening to us, most people rebel against it and despise the words that they're hearing. Why would people despise a book so much so? Did you ever think about that? Why would people despise a book so much so that they're willing to deteriorate its truth and destroy its power by diluting the words? I said to you last week that we are dealing with Bible corruptors. And the truth is that the bloodstream has been... Well, I started to say... I won't even say what I started to say. But we're living in a time when the bloodstream has been corrupted. The bloodstream of the Word of God, the blood in the Word of God being taken out, ridiculed. A well-known preacher in America once said, "The blood of Jesus Christ is of no more value than the blood of a dead chicken." How'd you like to sit under that preacher? If the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient, then what is? Absolutely nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. The songwriter had it right. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Hebrew letter again is plain in the fact that Christ once, literally once for all, once offered Himself. Christ offered Himself, He offered His blood. That shed blood is the remission for our sins. And that being true, the world despises that. The religious world despises that. Wants nothing to do with its truth because it brings accusations against them and points them to a dying Christ alone for the remission of their sins. They think they can pay the price. They're convinced that they have to do something. Let me give you an analogy, and you work on this until Jesus takes you home. Just how much influence did you have on your birth when mother brought you into this world? Now I'm going to tell you something else. You have exactly the same amount of influence upon your second birth. When God saves you, it's all of God. The Scripture plainly states He is the author and the finisher. Now that means that everything from the beginning to the end is in the hands of the Lord God Almighty, not in your hands. If God left it in your hand, you'd perish just as sure as God made little green apples. But because it's in God's hands, salvation becomes a reality for His people. By the way, you can't keep God from saving, and you can't help God save. It's all in the hand of God. You take the blood out of this book, it becomes a powerless book. And the revisers down through the years, since about 132 or 33 AD, the revisers have been doing their best to destroy this book that we hold so dear. In 331, the Scriptures were translated in such a manner that it denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called in the theological world and in the natural world now, since it's out and for everyone to see, it's called the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus copies of the Word of God, text, if you will. Those copies of the Word of God denied the deity of Jesus Christ. And in denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Constantine came along at about the same time, as you recall. Constantine declared that 50 copies of these Sinaiticus and Vaticanus texts should be given, put to the churches under his reign. And so far, years and years, multiplied years, those who denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ were in charge of the text of the Word of God. In doing such deeds as was done in those texts, they for some reason or the other became hid. Tell you why in a few minutes, you figure it out. And they showed up then in the 1800s, just happened to be in the papal library. Wonder where that is. And then two scholars, men by the name of Westcott and Hort. You ever heard of those? Anyone ever heard those names? These two pagan theologians were Mariolaters, worshipers of Mary. They looked upon the text as declaring that Jesus was the Son of God. Not the Son of Mary so much so, but the Son of God. They wanted Him to be the Son of Mary and Joseph. So guess what they did? They picked up the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus text and began the revision of what you know as the RSV. If you have an RSV tonight, you're studying and you're reading from a text that has been corrupted by Mary worshipers and those who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the first thing I'd do is open the cover of my Bible and look and see if it is an RSV. If it is, find the nearest trash can and throw the garbage away. Hello. The Textus Receptus is a text from which your King James Bible was translated. It is the only text that has stood the attacks of time down through the years. And it is, by the way, the only text that Westcott and Hort refused to even look at when they translated the Catholic Bible. So again, if you have an RSV, you have a Catholic Bible. You ought to be proud of yourself. Anybody trying to find a garbage can? I promise you before God, now I have them in my library. But I have them there for my purposes. You'll never hear me read from one. And you'll never hear me quote from one except in proving the error that's involved in their text. Taking away the blood. Let me just give you some thoughts here. You need to write this down. If you don't write anything else down you hear in your lifetime, you need to write this down. And you're welcome to check me out and see if I'm telling the truth. Out of 162 verses in the King James New Testament that deals with the blood of Jesus Christ, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the RSV changes 158 of those 162. The new ASV changes 147 of those 162. The good news for the modern infidel changes 144 of that 162. The ASV, which is the Authorized Standard Version of 1901, and many Baptists are carrying that Bible. Changes 135 of those 162 references. The NIV That's the New Ignorant Version. The NIV changes 160 of those 162 verses. How about those apples? Now, If I'm carrying around the Bible that has changed that many verses, makes no difference which one it is. If it changes one verse that denies the deity of Christ and takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from it, then I have no business as a saint of God carrying the thing. I have no business spending my money for that. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Let me ask you a question. How many major revivals have you seen in America since 1901? See, that's the arrival of the ASV, the American Standard Version. And when that American Standard Version showed up, guess what happened? The stream is polluted, taking away the power of the Word of God. When the Word of God's power is gone, when it's denied by the church, guess what happens in the pew? Weaklings instead of those who are ready to do battle. Preachers who have compromised, weak kneed, incapable of preaching because they're afraid somebody will confront them. I've been confronted since I was 19 years old by people who really thought they knew what they're talking about. There is absolutely no reason for you to ever bow your head in shame when you carry a King James Bible. Now, I am not a Bibleolater. I do not worship the King James Bible. But I hold dear to my heart the Word of God. I love it. I love it so much so, the first thing I do when I get out of the bed at 4 o'clock in the morning is go to my Bible and spend my time in the book before I start to do anything else for the day. I do that for two reasons. Number one, because I need the strength that it gives me. And number two, I love it. I love it. I love to be in the Word. I love to read this book. I'm reading and studying through the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I tried to remember the other day, I have some notes somewhere, but I think this is my 122nd time through this book. And I'm finding new things. Things that I've missed the last multiplied times that I've been through it. And just this morning I was reminded of some truths. God, through Moses, is telling the children of Israel, when you go into the land, and when you begin to flourish, and when you begin to drink the milk and eat the honey, don't forget God. For when you forget God, God will set you aside, send you into the countries around you, scatter you throughout the earth. I wonder what happened to Israel. Did that come true? Sure as there's a God in heaven. By the way, everything else in this book is true. This book is not necessarily a scientific book, but every time it speaks in the realm of science, it's right. One of my granddaughters came to me the other day and said, Paul, do you know that people believed that the world was flat until Magellan came along? I said, no, sweetheart. Unbelievers believed the world was flat, but the Word of God tells us that it's round. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. How about that? That's not flat. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? This book's right when it comes to science. It's right when it comes to anything else as well. Whatever it says is right. Whatever field it happens to be dealing with, it's right. But the most important thing is that it's right when it comes to the salvation of the dying soul. It's not churchology that saves you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, I say to you, there is no reason in the world for you to be ashamed of this marvelous book. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 17, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. I'm glad, thank God, I can say that tonight. But I'm sad that I must say that there are multitudes who are guilty of corrupting the Word of God. I want to say this to you. I'm sure I said it earlier in this series. Let me say it one more time. There is not a man breathing who has the ability to correct a sovereign God. And for him to think that he can, he has proven himself to be the fool of fools. Don't spend your time trying to correct the Word of God. To do so would simply prove your inadequacy, your inability, and your stupidity. No man breathing has the right to stand and say, God, you're wrong. But I say to you that every man who has tried to correct this book has literally stood before God and said, you're wrong. Here's the way it should be. I want to tell you something. These men that I named tonight were learned men. They were the inventors of biblical criticism, so to speak. And they have many followers. As a matter of fact, they have so many followers that they cannot be numbered. And again, they have many followers in Baptist churches who are willing to try to correct the Word of God. Really, to correct God Himself. What fools we are. And how soon we identify ourselves as the haters of God. Again, I take you to the thoughts in Romans chapter 1. We'll not turn there tonight. But I simply take you to the thoughts in Romans chapter 1 when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Now remember, Paul is writing this around 60 A.D., and Paul is saying, when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, when they change the truth of God into a lie. God gives them up. Lets them do their own thing. And when that happens, every kind of immorality becomes apparent. Because when man denies God, he becomes the highest good, and whatever man wants to do in that sense is right. Makes no difference what God says, makes no difference what anyone else says. Whatever man who denies God wants to do is right. And he'll perform it. And try to make you feel like you're wrong because you don't do what they do. Does that sound familiar? You won't listen to some of these perverts in this day and time except they try to make you guilty. I have news for you. I am not them. Are you hearing me? We are not of that sort. We believe God. We're saved by His marvelous grace, cleansed by His precious blood. We are born again. We believe God. I was praying the other day. Many of our folks that were in our church in Florida rang my phone this week and said, "Brother Larry, pray for us. Please pray for us." And I was praying and I said, "Lord, I know I'm just one soul. Just one soul, but I'm one of your children. And I'm asking you on their behalf, have mercy on them." Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but that thing's turning. And it's turning away from the Jacksonville area. Now I'm going to have to start praying for my friends in the Birmingham area. God's not going to let me rest till this thing dies. What I'm doing is actually praying for it to die a cold, hard death somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico.
Amen.
You say, "It can't happen that way." You don't know the God I know.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
So what makes you think it was your prayer? Well, what makes you think it wasn't?
Amen.
Amen. Glory. I have as much authority before the throne as any other God's little young'uns.
Yes.
And I wasn't sheepish when I went before Him. I went boldly.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I expect God to answer my prayers. I'm like the old lady that went to the prayer meeting to have for the community to have rain. It had a drought for some time, and the church had called prayer meeting for rain. That's all it's going to do, just pray for rain. One old lady shows up with an umbrella.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way I pray. I pray carrying an umbrella. Amen, right there. Believe God's going to do what we ask Him to do.
Yes, He is.
This book, I wish I had time to cover some more of this tonight. We'll do it. We'll continue this. I told you it'd take 4 or 5 weeks, didn't I? Just for this one thought. But this book, how precious it ought to be to our hearts. It's not just a book. I want you to get this thought in your head. It's not just a book.
No.
This is the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
On every page, there's a portrait. When we first started on the radio, nearly 50 years ago now, when we first started on radio, we started with the program we entitled Portraits of Christ. And I went from page to page in the Word of God and showed a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. His picture is on every page.
Yes.
Someone has said the Word of God, some 770,000 words, like a hive of bees, working consistently. You see, bees don't work against each other. They work together. They have honey, and they have a stinger. You believe it and you trust it, how sweet are the words. What sweet nectar comes from the Word of God to the believer.
Yes. Amen.
But then, on the other side of the coin, for those who believe not, there is that stinger.
Yes.
Amen. There you go.
And that stinger stings even to the sting of death.
Yes.
I don't know about you. I'd a whole lot rather go to my grave if God seeks to take me that way. I'd rather go to my grave with a honeycomb in my hand than I would crying. Because I was being stung by the Word of God. How precious is this book. And how sweet its nectar. How true. How true. The Word of God. My Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we'll not be affected by the blood poisoning. I pray that by your marvelous grace, all of these erroneous versions that are coming down the pike will not affect us. But rather, by the grace of God, we'll believe your book. How precious it is. Lord, one more time, this very day, I want to say thank you for the Word of God.
Yes.
Lord, if you let me, I want to renew my vow that every day of my life, I'll make time for its precious nectar to flow through my soul. My taste buds might taste the sweetness rather than feel it sting. In Jesus' name.
Let's stand together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.